Today is Thursday, March 7th, 2024, and this is the Coaching Corner. I am your host, executive producer, and creator, L. Michelle Smith, author, certified executive and personal coach, and speaker and facilitator. You know what? I owe you a belated Happy New Year. I understand. Yeah, we are in the third month of the year, and we're just getting around to saying that. We've been on hiatus since about Q3. It's been a while. So maybe you've had the opportunity, if you just joined us recently, to go back and binge, listen, or watch the Culture Soup podcast, which has been listed by many publications as one to download and not to miss. You know, in October, we celebrate the sixth year, the sixth anniversary of this podcast. And I just want to thank each and every listener who's been with us ever since or just joined us along the way. Much appreciation to you. And today, I want to spend a little time catching up, letting you know what's been going on and what to look forward to on this edition of the Coaching Corner. Let's get it. Hey, y'all. This is Culture Soup, where tech, culture, and business collide. It's a podcast that spoons up everything hot from social media. I'm your host, L. Michelle Smith, and each episode, we bring you some of the most notable and not yet notable thought leaders in tech, business, and culture. Call this edition of the Culture Soup podcast the catch up. We're going to catch up on everything that I've been doing. Well, not everything, but a lot of what I've been doing since we last spoke. And I do believe the last time you heard anything from me, it was around the launch of my book, Yes, Please, 7 Ways to Say I'm Entitled to the C-Suite. Secrets Women of Color Need to Know Now to Find Their Happy and Win in an Exclusive Corporate Culture. So you knew I did a book signing here in Dallas, in my hometown at Blacklit Books. Shout out to Nia. You're doing such a great job out there. But then I hit the road and I had 2 book signings in Washington, D.C., back to back, same city, different venues. I had another book signing in Atlanta, Georgia, and the bookstores that I worked with were just awesome. Let's go back to DC first. And that first book signing was at Busboys and Poets. If you've never been, you've got to go. There's several locations all over the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. And I was at the one in DC, but it's not just a bookstore, it's a restaurant. And they have soul food vegan. Y'all, and it's so good. Anyway, I had a conversation with the biographer and descendant of Madam C.J. Walker. You've probably heard of her, Alilia Bundles. I've known her for years. She was excited to come out and have this conversation with me. She's also working on her next project, which is called Joy Goddess. It's due out in 2025, and it's about Madam Walker's daughter of the same name, Alilia Bundles. And she was a central figure in the Harlem Renaissance. Anyway, it was awesome to have this conversation with her at Busboys and Poets. The next day at the Gaylord National, right outside of DC, where the Executive Leadership Council had their mid-level management symposium, I was a featured speaker and facilitator, and the conversation was all about how to leverage positive emotion to become the best leader. And afterwards, we had another book signing. And y'all, this was so cool because people had already bought the book before they went in the session. So when we came out of the session, we were almost sold out already. And thank goodness I brought a batch from Busboys and Poets the night before so that we could sell those too. Shout out to Mahogany Books for managing the books and bringing them on site to the Gaylord. There were 2 lines, one to buy, one to get signed by me. And those lines went on forever down the halls of the Gaylord National. It was something to see, and it just warmed my heart, and I stayed there and spoke with each and every one of those people, those leaders from Fortune 500s from around the country. So exciting. So that's really what took up most of my time towards the end of 2023. I also had another speaking engagement workshop that I facilitated for a group called Dev Color. Shout out to those high performing tech leaders that are a part of Dev Color. We had a conversation about how to do personal branding when you're Black and what does that have to do with it. We had some real talk, y'all, and these tech leaders came out with actionable items afterwards. As a result, I got a few more clients to add to my roster. But as 2024 turned the corner, I had some other things going on. I flew out to Orlando and helped one of my very high-ranking clients prepare for the platform at her national sales meeting, and she knocked the ball out of the ballpark. I spent the balance of January ramping folks up on the new SOAR Discern IQ one-on-one intensives. There were 4-week coaching engagements that zeroed in on a goal and leveraged the power of the DISC assessment in order to get to know themselves better so that we could push them forward. So much of that going on. And I did skip a big part. I was also ramping up my credentials. So I finally finished my neuroscience course. I'd been at it since 2021. Yes. Towards the end of 2021, I started that course. And because life was lifing, and you've heard me talk about this with releasing Yes Please, and I also mentioned part of it in the book. It took me a while to get that one released. It was supposed to come out in 2022. So imagine if I put the book on hold, imagine what had to be put on hold in order to get the book done, released, and on the road doing book signings. The neuroscience course. So towards the end of last year, I was jamming to get that finished, because it represented 24 points towards my continuing coaching education, which ramps up to my next credential. The other thing that I completed, I am now a certified DISC practitioner, and that's why I was able to roll out SOAR Discern IQ and the many aspects of it, which I'll tell you more about soon. And that was another 17.5 credits towards my next credential, which, by the way, I will be able to capture very soon. The plan was to get that done by the end of this first quarter, and it looks like I'm on track to do it. I uploaded all of my supporting documentations and the application just yesterday. I'll take that exam, and you know what? I'll be a PCC instead of an ACC, always pushing forward. And it isn't so that I have the alphabet strung behind my last name. It's because I get to bring my coaching clients far more value, my coaching clients and my consulting clients. Everyone has felt the impact of this education that I have been immersed in for the past 18 months. I know so because my clients tell me so, and I also know because they keep coming back. More to come on DISC. But first, let's delve into some nuggets. I'm going to start calling this segment Nuggets. And the reason why is because I hear people say all the time, you drop gems. Well, it's a spin on gems. If you get a golden nugget, you get a gem, right? Well, a gem might be more of a jewel, but same difference, right? Something precious and something to take away, something that has value. So here's my first nugget. The first two nuggets come from conversations I've had with coaching clients. Now, mind you, for those that are just joining, my clients, most of them are mid-level all the way up to C-suite, most of them director and up all the way to C-level, okay? So these are the folks that I'm having conversations with. And yes, I have a sweet spot for women and also women of color, especially Black women, but my practice encompasses everyone. So these conversations that we have are rich as we're strategizing to get them to their next, okay? So this first conversation that I had raised a question that is pretty, it's controversial because It's like saying the quiet part out loud. And you know, I did touch on a theme in Yes Please that centers on this topic when I talked about how there may be leaders in your organization in the middle of the leadership pipeline that have done it all. They've achieved it all, but it doesn't seem that they get any upward traction. Do you remember that? I talked about this persona, this woman, this Black woman who's done it all, including founding an ERG. She founded an ERG. She also started new business inside her organization. But for some reason, even with all the right so-called sponsors, that persona seems to stay in the same place, stuck in their career, and not able to move up. Well, had a client recently have a conversation with me about ERGs. I mean, we're coming off of Black History Month. I've come into contact with a few ERGs just in the past month of February. And it's always, once you get to a point in corporate, it's a little bit of a question as to whether you should be involved. Now, that may come as news to many of you who may be rank and file. In other words, non-management or new management, because what we're told in those positions is that you want to be a part of these ERGs or BRGs. And for those of you that don't know, ERGs are employee resource groups. Some companies call them BRGs or business resource groups. Some of you call them affinity groups, all the same thing, okay? But yes, when you first come into a company and you're on the lower levels, you're very much encouraged to be a part of this. And the company may even be pushing for you to be a part of this. And what we notice and what we've observed is that those leaders have been told that this is an opportunity to have exposure to higher level leaders. This will be their opportunity to network. And of course, they're going to do service too. But the carrot that they dangle before you is that you'll have this access to these E and C-suite leaders, and that will help your career. When I wonder who has done some of this research. If you know anyone who's done the research, I can't find it. But anecdotally, what we see is many, if not all, of those individuals who are active in these ERGs don't have a real thrust in their upward trajectory. They usually stay right where they are. Now, that may also come as news to those of you who are involved in ERGs, and you may be listening to me saying, how dare you say that? So, I tell you, if you know of something totally different, please let me know. Please reach out and share with me these anecdotes because I always want to know more. This is the kind of research that helps me to develop the books that I write and the content that I write and create. But there's a flip side of the coin. Once you make it to a certain level in these companies, typically director and up, there is a whisper that happens that says, don't get too involved. Don't stay involved and be at all those events. First of all, you don't have all that time, but think of your positioning. Now, who among you are willing to say you've heard that too? In fact, I even had family members tell me not to get involved with the ERG, the Black one specifically. And, you know, I hear things like this and then I want to trace it back to where it really comes from. And it smacks of the idea that Black people don't need to congregate. Who knows that myth? Who's heard that myth? In fact, there's a book out right now that's something or other like, why are the Black kids sitting together in the cafeteria? You know what I'm talking about? And it reminded me when I was talking to this client of how when I was a student at TCU, there were white students that asked us, why did we congregate? in the school cafeteria. And the fact is, we weren't congregating. And I responded to them, why do you congregate? And there was dead silence. Because when white kids sit together, no one says anything. But when black kids sit together, they do. And I say, kids, in this situation, in corporate, it's grown people, right? So it's a really curious question. And because I am a student of history and culture, I do know that there are some roots of this concept and feeling from the plantation. Because guess what would happen if more than two or three slaves were gathered in the same spot for too long? The assumption was that we were plotting, so that had to be broken up. This reminds me of the talk that I had at a company recently. I can't call their names because I go into NDA with some of these companies where I speak. They want to keep their confidential conversations internal. So I won't name, but I will say this. What I've shared with you is the beginning concept of something called epigenetics. And that is that they've studied slavery. They've also studied our biogenetics to know that our DNA has been etched upon by trauma and past generation over generation. And it's not just for black people. It's for everybody, y'all. So just think, if you're white and your ancestors were slave masters and they were always on the lookout for slaves gathering, it's possible that that could be etched on your DNA too, so that when you see a group of black people gathered, it gives you the willies, or at least makes you feel uncomfortable, and you ask the question, why? Isn't that something? So look, back to ERGs. Should you be a part of an ERG? Especially those that are race related? Now that DE&I is under attack, you know, it's probably not the popular thing, but I have seen that many companies are doubling down on their ERGs. In fact, some of them are just now erecting them. I saw one company who didn't have them for years, and I wondered, because I was at a company that championed them, why they wouldn't. And I'll just be frank, that's Southwest Airlines. And I was told for years that they didn't have ERGs, and it was because the CEO just did not believe in them. He thought that they divided people. And on its face, it sounded like the old classic, we want to be colorblind, 1980s way of saying you were diverse and inclusive, which really wasn't true. But now, looking back, I wonder if there's some wisdom in it. Because if what we see is true, that people of color who are in ERGs really don't see the career acceleration that they're promised, and it's created just to help us to connect with one another and possibly appease us, what's an ERG really for? That's my first nugget, something to think about. Okay, so back to what I've been up to since we last spoke. Do you know that it's NSC Coaching's fifth anniversary? 5 years in business since I launched in May of 2019. So we're coming up on the anniversary date, but 2024 marks the fifth year for my practice. It's exciting. So all throughout the month, all throughout the year, we're sharing social media posts that walk you down memory lane. Today we posted one that shares the launch of the one project that gets overlooked in my publishing journey. And that is the companion journal to No Thanks. It's called Slay Every Day, 52 Weeks to Rockstar Leadership. And it is literally 52 weeks of affirmations, insights, and journaling prompts that were based on, who remembers this? my rock star leadership tips of the day. Do you remember those? There were 250 of them. So coming out of 2021, I made the decision that after amassing so many of those videos, there must be a way to repurpose the content so that it would be useful for my coaching community and beyond. As it turns out, those rockstar leadership moments were created to promote No Thanks, 7 Ways to Say I'll Just Include Myself. And a lot of it was pulled from that book. So we got on it. And after we released my daughter's book, No Thanks for Girls, 7 Ways to Say I'm Beautiful, Strong, and Enough, in January of 2022, we released Slay Every Day, along with something very special that is still in full effect today, and that is SlayNet, our online community of like-minded leaders who want to soar in their lives and leadership. It's much more than a social network. It is where so much of my content lives in the form of courses and curriculum, like for the SOAR Women's Leadership Academy. It's a hybrid asynchronous program that lasts 6 months, and we are still recruiting for the spring cohort, which, by the way, we pushed the start date a bit. We'll re-announce when we will start again, but if you are interested, go to lmichellesmith.com/SOAR to apply. This is for women of all kinds who are interested in ascending to the E or C suite. You will meet other women like you, and you will learn through workshops and coaching, as well as masterclasses, what you need to know in order to reach your goals. It's cultural and gender nuanced, so it's especially for you. That's just an example of one of the tribes or spaces on SlayNet. There are many others, including The Circle. I know you've heard of this, but this is my private online growth group. It's a membership for group coaching. And every week we share a topic with a journal question that leads you to a digital tool, which also leads you to the group coaching, which happens once monthly. So every month, a new topic. Every week, we coach you through that topic, and then you get to meet with the group. So if you're interested in The Circle, go to lmichellesmith.com/The Circle. Now, to nugget number two. This nugget is very interesting, and it also comes from a client coaching session where we were brainstorming ways to better communicate and work with people who are not like you. Now, you know that there is diversity of all kinds. There's diversity of work styles, communication styles, and behavior styles. And that's what the DISC assessment gets underneath. My DISC experience is called SOAR Discern IQ. And this is your journey to emotional intelligence, okay? Because this is your opportunity to get to know yourself better and to be able to read the room better. This conversation that I had with a client had to do with the friction that often emerges between S's and C's and I's and D's. Okay, so for insight, let's start with the D in the DISC. D is for dominant, I is for influence, S is for steadiness, and C is for conscientious. Now, to level set, everybody has some aspect of every work style in them. So no one is just purely an I, okay, or purely a D. You have aspects of other work styles within you. Something else you need to know is that when you go through the DISC assessment, you're assigned more than one letter. In fact, there are two sets of letters. One of them being your adaptive style, which is who you are when you show up and you're on, and your natural style when you're not on and you don't have to show up. Okay. And this isn't just about work. This is how you adapt to other people that may be in the room. This could be family. And it's not that you're not becoming yourself or you're becoming someone else. It's just, that's the way we as humans are. We adapt to our environment, right? Okay. So there are two things to know about these two sets of letters. And we usually group D and I together and S and C together because of two aspects. One is that the D's and the I's tend to be more open as opposed to guarded and more fast paced. Okay. So it's about pace and it's about whether you're open or guarded. And for some, they will call the pace direct or indirect. So D's and I's tend to be more direct, more open, and more open. Okay. So that means the S's and the C's are just the opposite. Okay. The S's and the C's are more guarded. They're less open. They are less direct. They're indirect. And their pace is slower. Neither one of these is bad or one's worse than the other. They're just the way they are. Now, I mentioned to you that many of us have all sorts of aspects of these letters in us. So just to share with you, my adaptive style, who I am when I show up, I am a high I, and I have a D, which is capitalized because it's pretty prominent, and a small S, okay? And then on my natural, you'll see a slash and you'll see my natural. I am a high I followed by a C. Okay? That's who I am when I don't have to show up and I'm just being my natural self. So if you were to get some letters, you may get 3, 4, or 5. Most people get 4. I actually got 5. That's interesting, isn't it? So let's talk about the S and the C as opposed to the D and the I. And this came up in our conversation because this client noticed that she has friction with her husband, who happens to be a high D and probably has some I in him too. And she happens to be a high S, secondary core trait C. So what did I just tell you? Those are pretty much opposites, but there are some traits that they share. The D's and the C's like the facts and they want them just right, and they want them correct, okay? The D may want them faster. So what we did was we talked about what she could do to prepare for conversations with her husband. And she knew that these conversations with her husband, if she could get those right, she'd be able to get more things right at work with people like him. So she discovered that when she approached him immediately after work with questions or something having to do with her business or even the business of the family, he was a little squirrely about answering the questions, and he was a little put off by it because she hit him right when he came through the door. The other thing was that when she got his attention, he wanted all the facts right then and there, and it made her feel unprepared. And as a C, that's not a good feeling because she likes to be prepared and she wants all of the T's crossed and all of the I's dotted. She came to the conclusion that if she prepared before he came home and if she allowed him the space to wind down and set forth a time, carved out a time just for these conversations, she could probably have a more productive conversation with her husband. And there was a learning for her too, in that there are high D's and I's at work. And she could pretty much pinpoint who those people were based on those criteria. Are they open? Are they guarded? Are they fast or slow paced? Are they direct or indirect? And she can now adjust herself because, listen, with DISC, we consider the platinum rule, which is a spin on the golden rule, which everybody knows, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The platinum rule adds to it, and it's the understanding that people will perform better, they will love you better, if you love them or communicate with them or work with them the way they want to be worked with. So do unto others as they would have you do unto them. That's the platinum rule of the DISC. So knowing that The only person's behavior that you have control over is your own. If you can shift the way you act, chances are you can have a better relationship, working or personal, with the other person based on what you know to be true about their work style, communication style, and behavioral style. Listen, if you want to know more about the DISC, the best thing to do is go to lmichellesmith.com/soar. Look for the graphics that concern the DISC. There's one there for individual DISC assessments and follow-up consult and coaching. You can do that all on your own. Click on that and you'll find a way to book that appointment. They're 90-minute sessions after you finish the assessment on your own. It's a portal, y'all. So you log on to the portal and you take the test, and the assessment kicks out a report. And then I will spend a good 30 minutes with you, debriefing you on that report and what all the graphs mean. And then we go immediately into a 50-minute coaching. It's amazing. And that's how I've been spending a lot of my time with clients these days, doing these assessments and even for their teams. Imagine taking the assessment alongside your colleagues, of course, separately and privately and confidentially. You get your own report, and then your team lead receives a team dynamic report that shares how there may be challenges or opportunities to excel. I did this with a group out of Memphis, and we had a workshop thereafter to talk about how to move forward with the new information that they learned about their teammates. It's fascinating, y'all. And we even shared what Hollywood stars and celebrities and maybe even well-known people in business they share behavioral styles with. Are you a Halle Berry? She's an S. Are you a Bill Gates? He's a C. Are you a Kamala Harris? She's a D. Are you a Will Smith? He is a high I. You want to know what all of this means? Reach out. Go to lmichellesmith.com/soar. It's all a part of our new capability, Soar Discern IQ. And I'm glad that I spent this time with you today. It's a rather abbreviated show, I understand. And we'll be back with more audio editions all throughout the spring and the summer. And look forward to doing more video episodes leading up to the 6th anniversary of the Culture Soup Podcast. Until next time, I'll see you online.
The Culture Soup Podcast is a registered trademark of No Silos Communications, LLC.
The Culture Soup Podcast is a production of No Silos Communications, LLC.